Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Motown to Mobile, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we appreciate you being with us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Oh, we have done it. We have made it. Return engagement for the first time in 3 years. Upon the return after the triumphant permission-granted tour in Boise, Idaho in October of 2018, the DA is back. First time back here in those 3 years, and it feels good. Travel day yesterday was long. There is no direct flight from New York to Boise, Idaho. And so that means yours truly, your friendly neighborhood sports talk host, had to dig deep. But because I'm a gamer, because I'm a veteran of the process, I did exactly that. We are also 2 hours earlier local time here. And so this is truly Dark 30, and I'm fired up. We are broadcasting live from the 93.1 KTIK, the Ticket Studios in Boise. And we are here all week long, culminating in the Boise State-Oklahoma State football game coming up on Saturday. We've got a week's worth of events, and I am absolutely stoked for all of it. As I've said in the past, and I'll continue to promote where we're going to be, when we're going to be there, if you don't catch me on this tour and you want to, that's on you. I have made myself, and the Ticket has made this show available to all ages, all shapes and sizes, every single time slot and day possible. If you work mornings or are busy, we've got afternoons. If you've got midweek engagements, we've got weekend engagements. If you work weekends, we've got week afternoon engagements. We've got it all. I'll be doing this from janitorial closets. I'll be doing this show from large arenas. I'll be doing this show, I believe, at a skywriting airplane. If you don't find me this week, that's a you issue. Today, I'm in studio here in Boise at the KTIK studios. So unless you care to stand outside like College Game Day in the middle of the night with signs, this will not be one of those spots to catch me. Tomorrow morning, we're about 3 hours north into the wilderness. Oh, yeah, McCall, Idaho, because we're going fishing tomorrow. Hell yeah! which is going to be amazing. So that's tomorrow morning. And then starting on Thursday, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, I will be available for this show, and this show is going to be broadcast everywhere in this town. So I am so thrilled to be here. We'll rip through where we're going to be, when we're going to be there. If you want more details on the entire trip, and I've already started posting stuff from yesterday and then this morning, you can follow me on Instagram. It's an easy way to get all the information, where we're going to be, etc. I've already posted the full timeline of events. That's at Damon Amendo. Follow me there, at Damon Amendo. And we are going to get this thing rolling. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. Coming up this morning on the show, what a show we have for you football-wise. We've got three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth, who's going to join us on the show, coming up hour number three. Schlereth is always awesome, a.k.a. Stink. We'll talk NFL with him, and we'll also talk quarterbacks around the NFL week number one with Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl 35 champ, of course. Dilfer's Dimes going to be dropped here on the show, hour number four. It's also a Trash Tuesday. So you got to hit us up on the trashes. If you've got something bugging you, you've got something annoying you, this is the place to deliver the goods. Get it off your chest. It's healthy. Vent. Vocalize. That is either on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Follow me and tweet at me there. Or you can also call me up and we'll get you on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We begin with the Monday Nighter last night, where it took overtime, but the Las Vegas Raiders finally playing in front of those home fans last year, having moved to Vegas, opening up Allegiant Stadium, but no fans allowed in the building. This was our first shot at the black hole. And so the fans were out. Lamar Jackson was doing Lamar Jackson things, and the Ravens had a 2-touchdown lead. Seemed like an easy victory in hand for a superior Ravens ball club. But the comeback was on. Derek Carr, John Gruden, and the Raiders made a push and forced overtime. And in overtime, wacky, weird things happened. Like an apparent walk-off, game-winning touchdown called down at the one, leading to on third down a throw into the end zone that was deflected off of a helmet through the hands of a wide receiver and intercepted by the Ravens. So Baltimore had a chance to win the game on the ensuing drive with a field goal. And Lamar Jackson, for the second time on the night, fumbled the football. Intense pressure from the Raiders. Turnover, and the Raiders able to ice the game. Two huge plays in the second half and then in overtime. Fumbles by Lamar Jackson led to crucial swing moments in this game. Now, we know that multiple running back options for the Ravens went down to the season-ending injuries. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. And so it does make you wonder, with all the injuries that the Ravens have suffered, was this a case last night of Lamar Jackson perhaps trying to do too much, trying to overcome his lack of weapons and lack of support offensively? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Play action. Jackson keeps it, crosses it, and he's short of the first down. Ball comes out. Ball comes out. Raiders say they've got it. They do.
Jackson in the gun. Six in the secondary. Shotgun snap. They rush five. Down he goes. Set. Ball loose. It's loose. A fumble. The Raiders think they've got it. At the 28, let's see. Yes, they do. Jackson is fumbled. Lamar Jackson is fumbled at the 28 of Baltimore. His second tonight.
That tipped me off. You know, I hate fumble. I hate any type of turnover. But The first one that took me off because we had them right. It was right down there, you know, they little punch zone. They could have scored right then and there. That took me off. Then the last one, just two hands on the ball. Try to have two hands on the ball. Could have just took a sack, if anything, but it happens, football.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Lamar Jackson after the loss, 33-27. Derek Carr ends it with a touchdown pass in overtime. And that was Lamar Jackson's calls, courtesy of the Raiders Radio Network and then Westwood One as well. I do think there were moments in this game where Lamar Jackson felt like he was trying to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders and trying to do too much as he ran the football. Look, obviously, he's an elite talent. And obviously, this is a team, this is a quarterback that is going to go as far as Lamar Jackson takes them. So I can't crucify him for trying to make plays, for trying to be dynamic, for trying to be the star that the Ravens need. But there were times last night, I mean, Lamar Jackson rushed 12 times for 86 yards. There were times in the pocket where he's scrambling, trying to make things happen, where you just said, boy, I wonder if Lamar feels like there's even more responsibility on his shoulders. And so every play, he's trying to make a big play happen. You know, on that overtime, in that overtime, on that fumble, it's great pressure by the Raiders, no doubt. And it's a great defensive play on the previous fumble to punch it out as he's kind of leaning forward vertical with or horizontal with the line of scrimmage or with the field. But again, if you're Lamar Jackson and it is going to come down on your shoulders this year, you've got to be extra careful with ball security. You've got to be absolutely locked down with ball security because, frankly, last night is a crushing loss for the Ravens. They are playing in a division with obviously a pretty good Steelers team, as evidenced by Sunday, and a good Cleveland Browns team and a plucky Bengals team. The Ravens don't have an easy out in their six divisional games. They're going to be fighting for their lives for a postseason spot, obviously, so everyone matters. And you had a two-touchdown lead over the Raiders last night, and you couldn't seal it away. And normally with this Ravens team, with a solid defense, you give them a two-touchdown lead, and you're going to walk out of there with a victory. But the turnovers killed the Ravens last night. And also, I think that defense was winded the later that we got. Late fourth quarter into overtime, the Ravens defense uncharacteristically gave up big plays. When this is a 14-0 lead early, of course it's still the first half, but the Ravens just need to play it smart enough to salt away that win. And then later on in the fourth quarter, the Ravens kept putting points to the board and the defense kept giving them up. When they went up 24-17, when they went up 27-24, you know, that final drive where the Raiders drove down to game tied with a field goal before the end of regulation expired, that's a pretty bad defensive series by the Raiders, by the Ravens rather. That's a pretty bad defensive series by the Ravens. And if you were watching the Manning cast, Peyton Manning, without getting too critical, was critical of the Ravens, saying, look, if I'm Derek Carr, if I'm a quarterback here, I want to see man-to-man. It gives me options. I don't want to see zone because they're going to keep everything in front of them and I can't get my big chunk plays. Well, the Ravens played right into that, trying to be aggressive, but they went into man-to-man and allowed those two pass plays to set up the field goal. And so I thought the Ravens, from a ball security standpoint with Lamar Jackson, faltered. And I think that defense faltered. And I think the scheming faltered late. And that's a team loss for Baltimore. For the Raiders, it's a big comeback win in a division where everybody won. So the AFC West and the NFC West are all 1-0. So the Raiders needed that. And also, Derek Carr, I think, needed that. You know, Carr seems to always be walking that fine line of starting quarterback versus cast you aside, we can improve. How can we improve? And so Carr, it's almost like a test for Carr each and every game out. And in this case, in this game, he passed. I mean, I know that interception nearly killed the Raiders in overtime, But it's kind of hard to blame Derek Carr because, yeah, he throws an absolute rocket at the goal line, but it goes right through the hands of his wide receiver. Should he take a little off it? Perhaps. Should there be a little bit more touch? Perhaps. But he throws a dart through the hands. I mean, right through two hands of his receiver, which then bonks off of a defender's helmet up into the air and then intercepted. It's kind of hard for me to blame Derek Carr too much on a throw like that. You could say that the hard count before that, which led to the offside of the false start, was a mistake by Derek Carr. Goal line, overtime, you're on the one-yard line. Why hard count to potentially draw your own offensive lineman off when Leatherwood jumped offsides? Okay, that's fair. There's always kind of a give and take. Some good, some bad with Derek Carr. But last night, you walk out of your stadium with a win over a playoff-caliber team, having been trailing by two touchdowns and trailing twice, two different times in the fourth quarter. You know what? I can't kill Derek Carr on that. It's a good win for the Raiders and a crushing loss for the Ravens. Monday Night Football. Hit me up with your thoughts at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Trash Tuesday, as I mentioned. We are live from Boise, Idaho. So this is a big day. Hit me up with what's bugging you, especially after the football weekend. I'm sure you've got gripes. Hit me up on Twitter with that, DA on CBS, or as I said on the phones, at 855-212-4227. When we come back here on the DA Show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. That includes an interesting call on the CBS broadcast of Jaguars-Texans and more histrionics and fireworks, combative sports radio as...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Everything in New York sports sucks right now. That's coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And a reminder that the best of the DA Show happens each and every day right here on the Permission Granted Podcast, the PGP, which is the best of the entire week. We break it all down behind the show. The best of the show daily is also available in podcast form. And the full show, the full 4 hours. So for your complete listening pleasure, go to your favorite podcast platform and find our podcast by simply searching The DA Show. Subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find the podcast, and we would be good to go DA on demand. Now sound check, your best audio of the day. We begin with Washington quarterback Taylor Heinicke as Ryan Fitzpatrick suffers a hip injury. Now he's placed on the IR, so that means Fitzpatrick's done for at least a month and a half. Here's Taylor Heinicke taking over the reins.
You know, I'm always excited to play. It's just unfortunate that it had to come at Fitz's, you know, injury. But, you know, I felt like we did an okay job of moving the ball. Just, you know, a couple details here and there, whether it's, you know, a penalty or anything like that. I think we shot ourselves in the foot a couple times.
Isn't it amazing how Taylor Heinicke has fallen into this type of situation now twice? Remember last year when Alex Smith had kind of led Washington back with that furious rally kind of in the second half of the season, really the final month and a half of the season, to actually make the postseason, and then Washington ends up, well, Taylor Heinicke ends up in a big spot, and it's because they didn't trust Alex Smith in that spot, and then lo and behold, to begin this season. Once again, it happens as Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy, and he's supposed to be the starter until further notice. And then, boom, what ends up happening? He gets injured in week number one. This is a guy that played at Old Dominion, remember? He played at Old Dominion, signed to the practice squad, and then finds himself starting a wild card playoff game against Tom Brady and now taking over the reins for the next month and a half minimum. The flip side is, oh, the pain of Fitzpatrick. We thought he might retire. He was only going to come back if he was actually a starter. Finally gets a starter's job, and then within the first half of the first game goes down with a hip injury. So brutal luck for Fitzpatrick, and Taylor Heinicke just keeps falling into it. And you know what? That's why Mraz named his firstborn after him. That's why. That's why Taylor Mraz is named Taylor Mraz, because Heinicke has amazing luck. I mean, Mraz, look, if Heinicke becomes the next Tom Brady, where he's thrust into action due to injury and becomes a Hall of Famer, you could always tell your daughter that she was named after him.
No, I can't do that. Not for a rival. Now, I will tell you, if Taylor Heinicke was the quarterback of the Orlando Apollos originally, I think you'd have some say.
Well, he was an XFL quarterback. Did you know he was a St. Louis Battlehawk?
I did not know he was a Battlehawk. See? Okay, so maybe that's where I would lean. Not named after being the franchise quarterback for Washington, but named after being a great spring football quarterback.
Okay, so you can get on board with telling your daughter that she was named after a quarterback from a defunct league that lasted, like, 5 weeks.
5 weeks. Not their fault, though. Pandemic, DA. Pandemic ended the XFL. So that's what I would hang my hat on.
Let's get to Greg Gumbel, who's on the call of the Jaguars and Texans, the barn burner that was Tyrod Taylor, blowing out the Jaguars. And Greg was given some copy to promote a European soccer league / tournament, and away we go.
Hey, want to remind you, Paramount Plus is the home of the world's game. Streaming more than 2,000 soccer matches live, including Serie A. UEFA Champions League, then the MWSL, and the CONCACAF. World Cup qualifier. Paramount Plus, try it free. You get the next one, Arch. Don't laugh.
Oh, no. If you couldn't hear that, he pronounced UEFA, UEFA, and then couldn't pronounce CONCACAF. That's a problem. That's a problem. Can somebody from Copy get into Greg's ear and say, hey, just so you know, you got UEFA, CONCACAF, and Serie A coming up in this read. Greg, you might want to practice this. Oh, that's a shame. That's not good. Somebody from copywriting department, somebody from promotions has got to sit down with Greg and say, hey, just so you know, we're going to blast you with a CONCACAF read in the third quarter of Jags-Texans. You've got to be aware of this. You've got to let Greg Gumbel know this is happening. You've got to let Greg Gumbel know there's a UEFA League read coming. You can't expect him to pivot from Tyrod Taylor versus Trevor Lawrence to UEFA, CONCACAF, and NWSL. You can't. That's bad teamwork right there. Finally, on WFAN in New York, sometimes the overnight audience can be somewhat prickly, as you might imagine, especially with a Mets season going down the drain, a Yankee season going down the drain, the New York Giants looking like just a tub of goo on Sunday, and the Jets offensive line unable to protect Zach Wilson. And so there's just a lot of angst these days in New York around the sports world. Here is overnight host Sal Licata.
Like to see them win is different than expecting them to win when they're bad.
Yeah, but when they're three games out, it just shows you how bad all the other
teams
are.
It has nothing to do with the games out.
They're one game under .500. That you said they stunk when there were seven or eight games over .500.
Right, and I was right.
And you were wrong. You were wrong about the Yankees there. You said they were going to get swept. So you think you're right? You're nasty to the callers. The fans take their time to call, and you call them morons. If somebody called you a moron, you would go out of your mind.
Well, who am I calling him on directly?
That,
I was
you
saying, in,
more respect,
Tom. First of all, don't tell me what to do. That's number one. Number two,
no,
who am
I
calling?
You're being
No, you can't.
Yes,
I didn't call anybody. I didn't call.
Person.
No, Tom. Hey, Tom. Tom.
You know, I don't give a damn what you think. You're disrespectful. That's all I'm saying.
Tom,
I'm not saying
I didn't
you're
call.
Wrong, but you
I didn't.
Call people
shut up! Shut up!
You shut up!
Oh my God, I can't take it. I didn't call anybody a moron directly. I was referring to people on social media and people who have called.
And that is your sound check. I've got a series of questions here. Mraz, is Sal Licata, the overnight host on WFAN, now gaining a reputation as the yell guy, as the yelly, screamy, meltdown at callers guy? Because I feel like we've now played three clips in sound check of Sal
Shut
melting
up!
Down.
Shut up!
I think he is, but now that I'm getting to listen to a lot of Sal driving in, I will tell you, he is so done with hosting overnight radio by the last half hour of shows that the callers at the end just push him over the top. So the yelling always happens in that final 20 minutes of just being done with having to listen to these people for 4 hours.
So there's two ways you can go, because we did overnights for 2 years, and when you're on very little sleep and you're trying to sleep during the day, and especially sleeping during the day when you live in New York and there's garbage trucks and postal workers and construction and subways and it's just buses and yelling, it's really, really difficult. I mean, those days trying to sleep were just 2 years of the worst sleep of my life. It was really eroding my body. Two ways you can go. By the end of your shift, you can be tired and kind of just out to lunch, which I think I was more loopy in the final hour than I was angry, or you could be really angry. So you're telling me that Sal is going the angry route in the final hour.
Yes, very angry, very agitated, is very tired, and just doesn't want to hear nonsense anymore.
The other thing is that when things are bad in New York, they're really bad. It's kind of like Philly. It's kind of like Boston. Its negativity can be overwhelming. And Mraz, you worked on The Fan for a number of years as a producer and then also on air. And you know, if teams are bad in New York, it just becomes a pile-on fest and everybody wants to trash the team worse than the previous caller trashed them.
Right. And then there's that element, if you ever find a silver lining, then you're a moron. You get yelled at. You're not allowed to ever be positive, even when things are bad. And then everybody's just got to one-up each other on who needs to be more angry at who.
It's who needs to be traded, who needs to be cut, who needs to be fired, which owner needs to clean house, who's a bozo, who's a bum. It gets real negative real quick.
Shut up! Shut up!
But I got to tell you, if you do sports talk radio for your career, and that's your daily existence, you might want to get out of the business. What? And if you're driven to those lengths of anger, what is this career doing to you?
And I will tell you also, behind the curtain, Sal is still doing those shows from home with a wife and a young child. So at 4:55 in the morning, his whole house, assuming you could just hear him screaming.
Shut up! Shut up!
Shut up!
Good for Sal.
Good for Sal. Just lay into that, dude. That right there could be any street in New York City. That could be any subway platform in New York City. That could be any office building in New York City. Just screaming. I mean, one of the most memorable moments I'll ever have, having lived in the city for 7 years, and of course, I'm in the city every single day now for work as well, but living in the city, I was driving through Lower Manhattan, and there was one of those block-the-box situations. There is all of the cars coming into one intersection. There's no movement, and there's like a bus that is crossed into the intersection during a stoplight, and so nobody can go anywhere. And you're supposed to get points, you're supposed to get fined, you're supposed to get a ticket if you block the box. And in this case, everybody was in the box, everybody. And there was a car that was in the box blocking the other cross traffic. And a guy inches and inches and inches. And I'm telling you, it took probably 40 minutes to get through this one intersection. So that's just enough to just drive you insane. You're just watching the stoplight turn every, you know, couple of minutes, red again, then green again, and you're not moving. And you just are like, this is the worst moment of my life because I am now trapped. And we inch, and finally get up to the box. And there's a car that's blocking the cross intersection. And a guy, as he's driving by, could just keep driving to finally get through, stops his car, gets out, slams both hands on the hood of the car blocking the box, and just looks at the guy that's behind the wheel of the car and screams, basically, like Sal, shut up! Although he didn't yell shut up, it was something else.
Shut up! Shut up!
You just shut up!
Took two big bear paws, slammed them down on this hood, got back in the car, and just started driving by. Like, he just needed physical frustration taken out. So when Sal says, shut up, shut up, that could be any day in New York City.
We're at 555 in the control room during the remote.
Pete, do you sometimes do that if things get wonky on the connection side of things? Do you just slam both hands down to the control room board and say, shut up!
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
You shut up!
Usually after everything has been established.
Okay.
It was close this morning.
It was close.
Standing by with our headlines this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I am here in Boise as we broadcast live all week long leading up until Oklahoma State-Boise State football on Saturday. I got in last night. Bogues leaves tomorrow, so I'll see you tomorrow night, big guy.
And now how does this work? Are the Boise State cheerleaders like at the airport pom-poms going, making a little tunnel for me to walk through? Will there be somebody with my name on a card with my car waiting? What's the reception I'm going to get tomorrow?
Jared Zabransky runs the Statue of Liberty play at the baggage claim for you. That's when you know
that's amazing
that your limo is outside. It's a stretch limo. It's blue and orange. And
actually a Pinto.
No. I'm telling you. This is highfalutin around here, man. We're doing well. So, Bogues, yeah, a lot of fanfare tomorrow.
And I did some scouting yesterday. Checked out the three different breweries we're going to be at Thursday and Friday. So, started to make my wish list. What I got to try, what I got to taste. Can't wait to get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so let me just ask Mraz, how's Danielle doing?
We have a huge doctor's appointment today, DA, and we could be looking at a Friday situation, it looks like.
Really? Now, is that good news for you or bad news? Do you want to get this in the books by Friday, by the weekend, to make sure you have your football weekend free?
No, well, the problem with Friday is I'm probably still in the hospital Saturday, Sunday, so I'm big on rooting for a good Monday birth. I think a good birth would get us home in time for the following weekend. So we'll see. We have a very critical doctor's appointment from what I understand today. I was told she will be home around 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where we will discuss the upcoming near future here.
Okay, what we can't have is Danielle's water breaking Thursday night when the Giants take on Washington on Thursday night football.
No. Yeah, we've definitely hit the point as of Tuesday now that Friday's a bare minimum before this baby can come. But yeah, Thursday is a can't-have-it situation. Absolutely not.
If it happens any time Thursday night, it's problematic, or anytime Thursday, or anytime Sunday, early morning, mid-afternoon, late, that would take you out of a big football viewing window on Sunday.
It would be huge. Now, the one thing I have going for me, we are in a situation where apparently the baby is out of room to grow. Like, it is stuck like Spider-Man, hands ready to go, you can feel the hands, but we're told that they do not schedule the inducings on weekends. So I could have that going for me. So as long as it's not a Friday situation, I play my back because, of course, doctors would rather not work the weekend if they can.
Yeah.
No one gets sick on the weekend.
They've got red zone.
Right, exactly. So if we get through Friday, it looks like I could make it to a Monday, which would be great.
Okay. All right. Well, the watch is on.
I'll punt on Packers-Lions if I have to.
Baby watch is on. Peyton, it was one of the greatest days of my life. I only had to miss Packers Lions.
Yeah.
The extra 48 hours you stayed inside sucks for mom, but it helped out dad huge.
Hit that trifecta. It was great.
Jeff Okuda was already done for the season. It was a fine game to have to miss. All right, AB, what do we got?
It was like no one wanted to win Monday Night Football for a while. Derek Carr's goal line INT, then Lamar Jackson's second fumble tonight. But then the Raiders finally made a play.
He's got Renfro is to his left. And Zay Jones.
Here they come.
And here they come. Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby. Vegas touchdown. This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
Bren Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy on Raiders Radio.
He's still doing that at 82 years old, screaming bloody murder after Raiders wins. Good for him.
Yeah, and doing it pretty well. And the reference there was to the Raiders' first game-winning touchdown that was taken away by review, which then led to that Carr pick. Vegas eventually finally wins 33-27 in OT over Baltimore. Carr ends up with 435 yards, two scores, and one big win.
It feels like my career. It's just, it's like, yes, crap. You know, like, gosh, dang. You know, but, you know, we won the game, man. You know, and it feels so good. So, especially to win the first one.
Carr engineered three tying drives in the fourth quarter, ending with Daniel Carlson's 55-yard field goal with 2 seconds left. And again, his team hangs on for this win, aided by the Ravens' mistakes. Two fumbles, one in the fourth, one in OT from Lamar Jackson. Washington has placed Ryan Fitzpatrick on IR with a right hip subluxation. Fitz is seeing more doctors to determine the severity, so his return unclear right now. Taylor Heinicke starts Thursday night against the Giants. USC football fired head coach Clay Helton yesterday, 2 days after an upset home loss to Stanford. Trojans AD Mike Bone hired Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, so Fickell is seen by many as the favorite for this job now. For the first time since July 3rd, Clayton Kershaw pitched for the Dodgers last night, 4 1/3, one run, four hits, a walk, and five Ks.
There's not a lot of better feelings in the world than getting to pitch here and getting to win. It's a special thing. So I missed it. It was good to be back, and we got a win today, and everything worked out. It was good.
His Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 5-1, but the Giants dumped the Padres 9-1. So San Francisco keeps a 2.5 game lead on LA in the NL West, and the victory clinches a playoff spot, the first team to do that this season. The Cardinals blanked the Mets 7-0 to move within a half game of the idle Reds for the second wild card. The Blue Jays took care of the Rays last night 8-1. In the afternoon, the Yankees fought off the Twins 6-5-10. The Red Sox at night fell in Seattle 5-4. So Toronto leads the wild card standings with Boston and New York now a game behind them. And off the WNBA scoreboard, the Aces brought down the Wings 85-75. Vegas needs one more win in its last two games for a double bye into the semifinals. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. It's a Trash Tuesday, so let us know what is bugging you, what you're trashing, and hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll get to some of those trashes and your phone calls next. And Mike Vrabel has some choice words for Julio Jones. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Have fun with your marriage.
Have fun with your marriage.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Tuesday to you, everybody. We appreciate you being with us, and you can always watch us as well at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking. Check us out, watchda.com. You can also check us out on Twitch. The CBS Sports Radio channel is humming on Twitch as well. That's mobile friendly. We are live in Boise, Idaho this week. Today's my first show from the KTIK studios, so we're very happy to be here. They always take care of us real great here in beautiful Boise. George is in Idaho. He's on the phones here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Dick. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I just want to let you know a little of the inner gossips, inner workings of this organization you're currently visiting.
Okay.
Of course, one of the guys you'll be meeting is Johnny Ballgame, a.k.a. Johnny Mallory, a.k.a. Punky Dunky.
Okay.
Okay.
These are all good. I should jot these down.
What's I hope you take advantage of the Sockeye Grill and Pub while you're here.
Okay.
And also be aware, about 4 blocks away from you, open now is, they're open now, DK Donuts.
Ah.
They are John Calipari. Yeah, he just loved it when he came up here for the NCAA tournament. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Calipari knows a good
advantage of that as well.
He knows a good donut. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we're getting quite excited because the Mariners are only 2 games out of a possible shot of the World Series. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, playoffs first, then the World Series comes a little bit later.
Yeah, I know. Hurdles you got to conquer first.
Yeah. All right.
So basically, I'd like to welcome you. I hope you have a great time here.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Very kind of you. Thank you, George. I appreciate that very much. I always love my time here. The last trip that we took here was just phenomenal, really. The type of thing that lasts forever in your memory because of the warmth and the engagement and just how inviting and welcoming everybody was. And so I was thrilled when KTIK wanted to have us back as well. I wanted to jump at the opportunity because you just don't know how many times you get something as cool as this to all come together. So I'm thrilled to be back, and everybody here is just wonderful, really just wonderful. And that's why I extended my trip. Last time was 4 days. I said, no, I'm coming out for more than that. I want 7. I want a full week. So we're doing Monday to Monday. Oh, yeah. Lots of shows, lots of content, games, tailgates. Going to be fun. So Mike Vrabel came off just a humiliating effort for his Titans on Sunday, getting waxed by the Arizona Cardinals and really never quite in that game. There was a turning point of the game early where the Cardinals already led 10-0, and they had a 3rd-and-1. They couldn't get Derrick Henry moving. And then Henry finally ripped off a good gain to set up a 3rd-and-1. Julio Jones takes a penalty. That backs him up into 3rd-and-11. They can't convert, punt away, and then boom, it becomes 17-0, and the route is on. And so here was Mike Vrabel discussing that penalty from Julio Jones, and specifically an all-around grisly effort from his Titans.
I don't think that those are absolutely, that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. So that would fall into the category of doing dumb that hurts the team right there in bold letters.
That would fall into the category of dumb bleep that hurts the team. So I'm not sure Julio Jones is going to love that, but I think that entire locker room needs a wake-up call because the Titans played like garbage on Sunday. And you heard me last week. I was touting the Tennessee Titans as a great play for the over in wins this year. Vegas had them pegged at 8.5 for 9. I definitely think they're minimum a 9-8 team. But they certainly didn't play like that. They certainly did not play like that. I think they can win 10-plus games this year if they got their heads out of their rear ends. But they played like absolute numbskulls on Sunday. And really, the Cardinals made them look like fools. Offensive line-wise, Chandler Jones, 3 sacks in the first quarter, 5 overall, is a joke. The Titans took bad penalties, as you just heard Mike Vrabel mention. Derrick Henry didn't get off the mat for way too long on Sunday. Tannehill looked like garbage as well, and they had no answer for the Arizona offense and Kyler Murray. And DeAndre Hopkins caught a couple of touchdowns. I mean, they couldn't do anything right. And so Vrabel needs to wake up that locker room, and perhaps this is what he's talking about. This is nothing we coach or teach. That falls under the category of doing dumb bleep that hurts the team right there in bold letters. That's to a new guy, a future Hall of Famer in Julio Jones. So either Julio needs to wake up or he's sending a wake-up message to his entire locker room, but they need it after Sunday. When we come back, it's a Trash Tuesday. We're taking out the trash. Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.